This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Lifting the Lid with Sam and Duncan. Yes, this is Lifting the Lid, where we like to find out more about all kinds of different professions. And this week is a job that maybe you might be interested in one day. Because the guy we're speaking to, Andrew Levins, he's a multi-talented man. He's a food writer, podcaster, and author. But today, he's joining us to lift the lid on what it's like to be a DJ. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, DJing is my oldest profession. I've been doing it since I was a teenager.
Well, I want to find out.
I'm in my 30s now.
You're 30s. Okay.
Hey, mate, can you tell us how you got into DJing?
So I always loved music when I was a kid growing up. It was my main passion. And I never was interested in playing it or creating it. I was just interested in finding as much of it as possible and becoming an expert on it. And I used to make people mix CDs and mixtapes from, my teenage years right through to my early years of university. And when I finished high school, during high school, I volunteered at a community radio station in Hornsby where I grew up called Triple H, which stood for Triple Hornsby. when I finished high school, there was another radio station starting up in Sydney, which is still around, called FBI. And they did a call out for young people who might be interested in doing a show on FBI. And me and another girl who I was friends with during school went and applied. And I ended up being given the main afternoon slot. And this meant I was 17 when the station launched, and I just had nonstop access to every single gig that I could ever go to. And I went out every single night of the week to at least one gig, to the point where I was balancing university, volunteering at the radio station 3 days a week, and then going out every single night of the week. And I got glandular fever.
Oh, no.
I looked at what I was doing and actually realized the thing that needed to go was art school, my university. So I dropped out of university. I volunteered pretty much full time at the radio station, and people started to kind of get familiar with my show, with the music that I was playing on my show, and would get in touch like, hey, I have this gig coming up. There's, three bands. We'd love for you to play music in between the bands. And so I started getting offered DJ work, basically as just kind of like providing a soundtrack to play in the background at gigs to, create the right atmosphere and mood. And then from there, I kind of kept getting more and more gigs. And then I was like, you know what? This could be a main source of income for me. I should actually learn how to do this well. And so I taught myself how to mix by doing it in front of many people at actual gigs because I didn't have my own equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It became there was a big DJ boom in the mid 2000s, and it was suddenly a really, really great job to have.
Now, there's always jokes around that DJs all they do is make a playlist on Spotify and press play on it, but it's more involved than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, when I started DJing, that's 2003. There was no such thing as Spotify back then,
yeah.
So we couldn't do that then. That's my evidence that what you said is just false. No, but yeah, look, it's all about reading a crowd. I definitely treat DJing as a job. So, yeah, I have a lot of fun. It's an incredibly fun job. But I know that my role as a DJ is to make everybody in the room or at the festival that I'm playing have as best time as possible.
Do you have to be musical to be a DJ?
I mean, I don't know if beat matching is considered a musical skill. I don't really – there are definitely some DJs who mix in key and in tune. That's not something that my ears are able to hear. I think, beat matching is one thing. There's a lot of musical terms that exist purely in DJing, like phrasing, which is kind of like, you're forever basically, no matter what song is playing, you're always counting to four in your head. And, and it's all about timing and knowing when a chorus begins, when a verse ends, and making sure you're bringing the new song in as that one is at the perfect time for it to be mixed out.
Now, if people are listening to this and they think, oh, I want to give DJing a go, what's the best place to start? I'm guessing in the bedroom, maybe?
Yeah, in the bedroom. I always say that, because it is a big investment if you want to get your own turntables. You can now get a fairly cheap DJ controller for a couple hundred dollars, which I would definitely recommend to anyone young who's already, computer savvy, has a laptop. That's a great way to get started. But I reckon the best thing to do is to look up videos on on phrasing and look up like terms like, you know, BPM, beats per minute, and figure out how to count music. The best way to get started with DJing is actually what you said earlier, is making the Spotify playlists, but make them on iTunes, own the music that you have, and then go through it, find out the tempo of all of the songs you have, start grouping those songs together, start listening to those songs over and over, and memorize the how many bars of music are there before the song starts, how many bars long is the chorus. Those are the things that really help you as a DJ.
We're speaking with Andrew Levins about what it takes to be a DJ, but you've also written children's books. So let's talk about that next.
Can't wait.
You're on CityState 103.2. We are in the middle of a conversation with Andrew Levins, who is a DJ, a food writer, and now a kids' book author. His brand new book comes out tomorrow. It's called Nelson Pumpkins and Aliens. I'm so confused by this title of a book. What is this book about, Andrew?
Well, so Nelson Hunter is a kid. He's in year three at school, and he doesn't really like school, but the thing he hates most in this world is vegetables. He's never eaten one in his entire life. Every single night, his vegetable-loving family fill his plate with vegetables, and he has to come up with multiple creative ways to get those vegetables off his plate and into the toilet, under his bed, in the garden. So he's never eaten a vegetable his entire life, but one night, his grandma forces him to eat a bowl of pumpkin soup, which is the most disgusting thing he's ever done in his life up to that point, and he passes out. But in the morning when he wakes up, he discovers that he has super strength. And so Nelson's superpower is that vegetables give him different powers, but he has to do the thing that he hates most to access these powers.
That's so cool. But wait a second, how does a DJ end up writing books?
Well, I've done, I kind of have like ADD when it comes to my career. I change what I do pretty frequently. I never fully give up something.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, DJing has been constant in my life since a teenager. I started writing about music when I was younger. And then I had opened a restaurant with my wife. And when we closed our restaurant to have kids, I was actually asked to start writing food articles, and I started writing them for websites like Time Out, and then I actually was given a column in Sydney Morning Herald, and I write for The Good Food Guide. I actually wrote a cookbook in the past as well, and I'm pretty outgoing when it comes to parenting, always sharing fun stories and activities that I do with my kids. And one of the editors at Penguin a couple years ago reached out to me and said that, you know, you would actually be a pretty perfect candidate to write a kid's book. So, like, you know, pitch an idea to us and we'll see what we can do.
So I'm guessing that your love of food and now writing has lent itself to the topic of Nelson and the vegetables.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look, the first book was either going to be about a kid's relationship with music or a kid's relationship with food, given my two main interests.
Yeah.
And so we went food. Maybe the next series will be about music.
That's awesome. So is there going to be a series of Nelson books?
Yeah, I've written book two. So book two is coming out in the next year. It's called Broccoli and Spies.
That's awesome.
So this current book, Pumpkins and Aliens, is orange, and the next book is green. Every book is about one vegetable, and that vegetable dictates what color the book, the cover and the inside will be. And so the illustrations have been done by this awesome British illustrator, Katie Keir. They're great. It's a great mix of black, white, and orange inside these awesome cartoons that she's done. It's so much fun.
Awesome. Well, go and check it out. Maybe in this COVID world, you order it online is the place to do it. The first Nelson book, Pumpkins and Aliens by Andrew Levins, is out tomorrow, March 31st. Andrew, thanks so much for chatting with us on Hope Breakfast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.